Hey, welcome back to the Music with Matt podcast. I'm Wes.
And I'm John.
And this is the podcast where we explore all things music and how it intersects with people's lives and their day-to-day work. Part one was actually a really cool episode with our friend Dawn, who is a Foley artist.
I know, a Foley artist, which is sort of one of those things where maybe you hadn't noticed the role of Foley before, but after hearing Dawn speak about just what it was that she does and how they record the different sounds for film and TV and all those things, just incredible.
Yeah, all things audio related, so enjoy part two.
Yeah.
Years ago, I did an album for a folk band in London, Ontario, and we recorded in this like old abandoned stone church.
Wow.
Which, it wasn't abandoned, but it was used for...
It sounds
for,
cooler.
that's the visual, at least, I had. It was a long time
Interesting.
Ago. And we just did the vocal in there. And no like added reverb processing or anything like that. And I had a microphone set up kind of close to the singer. And then I had my room mics and everything else. And just like the mix of these couple different microphones and just this natural, like interesting reverb that you could never recreate digitally or with any software, no matter how much money you spend on like cool plugins or different things. It was just this really organic sort of reverb that existed in this one space, and it just complemented the voice of the singer so well. It was really cool.
That's cool. Yeah.
I love stuff like that.
But it's also like it could have also not worked, right?
Yeah.
So the trial and error of it too, and like that's kind of what Foley is and just recording music even and you know, we had a conversation a little while ago about producers and just like, you know, this aspect of kind of trying something and hearing something that might not be there. Mm-hmm. Because when you play a melody you have a thing, like, or you create a guitar tone, right? You can hear it, it's there. Mm-hmm. But kind of like, where do you take it next? Or what would complement this in a way?
Yeah, it's how it all fits together, right? And if you have too many things that, like, you have to also think about like the frequencies of the sounds and where they sort of slot in, right? If you have too much sort of in the bass frequency, then it gets all muddy, right?
You want
to sort of spread it out. Everybody needs to have their like little space. So like, even if you have a really great sound, it doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to work in the song, right? It might just muddy things up, or maybe you just have to EQ it or something like that.
Right.
But I remember listening, I forget, I was reading or watching, it was talking about David Crosby recording Joni Mitchell, like I guess maybe one of her first albums or something, and she hated it. I don't know if she even put it out or anything, but he had this idea, like he had her singing into like the piano or something. He wanted like the reverb from the piano and stuff, and it was just like created all of these weird overtones and stuff, and it was just such a interesting idea, but he was just fighting with it, and like it didn't work. But like, what a neat idea, right? Maybe
that
for like
cool.
an acapella thing, but like when you bring in the elements of all kinds of other stuff, like it's too much, right?
Yeah. And I think knowing, and like even back to the Foley conversation, knowing that limit of like, you know, when am I just wasting my time? And when am I actually like contributing a creative, cool thing to this project, because again, with music, and John and I say this like every single time, there's no right way to do anything.
Yeah.
You know, there's no right way to record a vocal. You can record it through a piano. You can record it in like an old stone church.
Yeah.
You can record it in an ISO booth that, you know, you could hear a pin drop. Like it's all of the above.
But what we also say is like, sometimes there are some
wrong ways.
And just like with that example that you just mentioned, it's just like, you know, give it a try. If after a while you're just sort of fighting it in a way where you're like, you're still trying to find this sound and it's like, it's not there. It's like, that's maybe a wrong way to do it, because it's just like, it's a cool idea. If it doesn't work, you got to be able to let it go and just say like, we got to find that sound somewhere else. We got to take a different approach to just sort of find
But that could be with like the song creation process too, right? Like say you're playing a riff and it's just like, this is a really cool riff, but it doesn't really work in the song or with anything. So maybe we just like come back to this process or something later, but
and that is like the central theme. It's like when you're creating music or any artistic idea, it's sort of like, well, what best serves the song? In much the same way as when you're recording, it's sort of like, well, what best serves like the recording itself, or like the overall sound that we're trying to capture, right? It's just like, that might be a cool idea, but it doesn't quite serve this properly. So you kind of have to abandon it and look for something else. So And like, have you in the history of you sort of like working in studios and things like that, have you recorded full bands, whether it's your own or like working for other projects? Like,
I'm in a studio
space, or
I have not personally recorded a full band. I do have, like, I know Pro Tools. I've recorded my own vocals for a bunch of stuff. Okay. Like, so the last album that I put out with Repair, recorded it all in my apartment and just had this little sort of makeshift, like vocal booth kind of thing with a bunch of like blankets and stuff.
Oh yeah.
Great.
Oh yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I really got to know, Pro Tools. So I did all the editing. I comped all of it and edited it and stuff. So
cool.
Yeah. Thankfully I've just really been in charge of like mostly just vocals stuff. Cause I don't really like the whole mixing process is like, I get it. I can sit and listen to stuff and be like, oh, something sounds weird here. But like, with regards to like EQs and things like that, I'm kind of like,
right.
My bandmates have better ears for stuff like that, for you know.
I'm sure it would just be a matter of time for you to like hone that skill. And it sounds like you've got that with vocals, as it pertains to vocals.
For sure. Yeah, I mean, for a while there, I was also teaching singing, which I really, really love doing. But the method that I teach is sort of vocology based. It's about formants. It's about like acoustic spaces and stuff like that. Right. So like it's kind of interesting. I mean, you guys record things, you know, there's a resonant frequency. Each acoustic space has a resonant frequency that will like make certain notes pop out. And your voice is actually kind of like that too. You have this acoustic space, your mouth and your throat, that will boost and dampen different frequencies. So if you get control over that, you can make your, I don't know, it just makes singing different. I don't want to, don't put that part in there.
No. This is actually really cool that you're bringing this up.
Yeah.
Cause it's a reason why there's people that are good at singing and people that aren't good, people that are very strong at singing, people that aren't as strong. But there's also the reality that given practice, most everybody could sing to a certain extent, right? It's like playing an instrument, right? Like, I could practice every single day and be really, really good, like really strong at guitar, but there's certain elements that are very unique to individuals, and with vocals, like as you're saying, it's these acoustic spaces that exist within your own, you know, physical makeup that create a unique, really cool aspect when combined with, you know, structure and training and skill building and all of those things create, you know, Adele, right? Like, you know.
Well, I guess my point, what I was trying to make is that, like, people don't realize the control they have over the tone of their voices, that they can actually add some more bottom end by, like, creating a space that's larger. It's so interesting. Like, once you can sort of get in there and sort of help people tweak their voice, and you use vowels really just to sort of like change the shape of the space, and you can boost the higher frequencies or the lower frequencies. And then, you know, I love that aspect of teaching where they're like, oh my God, I didn't know my voice had that tonal quality. Mm-hmm. People will come to me and be like, oh, I hate how my voice sounds. And then we can sort of work with it and get them to sort of love it. You know what I mean?
That's so cool.
It's really fun. I mean, I really, really enjoy teaching. We're totally off topic here though.
On the contrary, what I was just going to say is I'm like, that approach is almost like mixing, where it's almost like you're recognizing, you know, what works best within a certain frequency range. And, you know, someone may have recorded something and it was like, it was captured well, but they're like, I don't really like the overall sound of it. And you're like, well, it's because there's a little bit too much of this and not enough of this. And like, if you focus more on that, and then the sounds just naturally are able to come out and be properly showcased. And as a listener, then you can properly hear it. And it's just like you achieve that goal. And something else that I've really appreciated throughout this conversation, whether it was you talking about like, you know, the different types of sound that are going to come from footsteps on different types of floors, like a ceramic floor versus a dirt floor. Mm-hmm. We're talking about being in different spaces, like, you know, this abandoned, quote unquote, stone abandoned church. Even what you're talking about vocals, it's like, it's so cool, sort of the role of, let's just say, science and kind of like the physics and how all of this plays in to sort of like, you know, well, specifically what you do, whether it is like with the recording and the creation of music, and then also as a vocal teacher as well. So I was going to say, on the contrary, it actually all kind of ties in.
It all kind of ties together. Yeah. All right. No, it's true. It's all sound, and it's all, it's fascinating. I love to nerd out about the science of it. I mean, the voice is such an incredible instrument too, you know, it's so vast, and it can be such a natural thing. I mean, it's part of your body. It's a very personal thing as well. It's very tied in with your, you know, your personality and
just who you are,
as a person. Yeah. So it's really personal. And I always find it like so sad when people come to me and like, oh, like I really wanted to sing, but like I, you know, some nun went when I was singing in the choir, and I was just like, oh my God, get over here. You know? And I was like, don't worry. You know, I mean, I feel sad about people who say they can't sing. Cause I mean, everybody can sing, and you know, maybe you're not Adele. Like, who cares? Mm-hmm. Like, just
right.
There's joy to be found in.
There's
singing.
Somewhere in between Adele and not singing at all. Yeah. It's like you can find whatever.
Like
that
a Russell Crowe from the Les Mis movie. You know, there's somewhere that's kind of the
great reference. Yeah. speaking of things that are off topic, let me bring in Russell Crowe.
Yeah. All right.
Okay, just kidding. I unfortunately don't know their reference. I'm just trying to.
Well, Les Mis is this like beautiful musical, and there was like a movie version of it done a couple years back, and he plays one of the central characters, and like to that Javert, the sort of police villain, point though of everybody can sing. Like a lot of times you see actors like just kind of pop up and be, oh, like I guess they sing now, right? Because they sing a song in a movie,
right?
Anyway, so Russell Crowe sings in this movie, and he's not bad, but it's.
It's
not a Adele.
It's a testament to the vocal coach, because it's like if he went from zero to like wherever he's at, it's just like that's a very talented vocal
where
coach.
Where I'm sure that comes in.
It really does come down a lot of the time to the teacher, for sure.
Right, which makes sense. And again, it's like focusing on more of the science or the technique of it, right? You know, in terms of like breathing and like the different things that you're doing as well.
Mm-hmm.
Again, infusing the technology and technical element of things into the creative process too, right? Like we're stuck like within sound, we're stuck with what we can as humans hear, which is this narrow band of frequencies, right? And we're kind of playing in that, right? But again, there's no rules within that context. You can't really go outside of that, right? We're not going to create negative hertz or something like that.
Yeah.
But
that only dogs can hear or something. Yeah. Like that,
right.
Things like that. But in relation to technical elements, and this is something that I wanted to ask you, like what kind of microphones are you using when you do record Foley?
For Foley, yeah. So we have like sort of like a shotgun mic. I forget what it is. And then we have a room mic.
Mm-hmm.
So the room mic is like a Neumann 103, I think. Mm. And then we have like, so the close mic is obviously for close, it's to get perspective, right? Mm, so right, often the mixer will be like, if I'm walking and it's a long hallway, they'll start the 103, which is the room mic, and then slowly bring that down as they bring it to create this perspective thing. So
of something like maybe getting closer. And for those listening, like a shotgun mic, so every microphone has like what's called a polar pattern of how it like captures sound.
Yeah.
And a shotgun mic is super directional, where, you know, you could be on one side of the room and somebody else could holding the mic could be on the other, and they will hear you talking perfectly, but nothing along the sides if you're right in front of them, right? So whatever the mic is pointed at,
I'm trying to think,
you'll hear it very, very well. No,
that's
cool. The shotgun mic was all I wanted to know.
It's
yeah.
Like very directional, obviously. I think it still does pick up a little bit on the side, but I really have to like, fiddle with it, like, you know, it's like, okay, I'm doing like something up here and then I gotta move it, and like, so I'm moving that one around a lot,
right?
But it's nice, and like it picks up sounds, and like for comparison, like a microphone that you would see somebody use on like stage at a concert would not be able to pick something up as great a distance or focus as a shotgun mic, but it's a wider sound, so maybe they're kind of, their voice is around the microphone as opposed to just like directly sort of narrowly into it, but that's cool.
Yeah, it's really interesting. And also, like, I was going there before, but we do like indoor steps, and then like when we're doing feet, we do indoor and interior and exterior, right? So interior is just like the room, so you want to capture the sound of the room. So we do all of the interiors first, and then we go back and we have to close down the room. So like you pull curtains across and put up some baffles and things like that, and then I have like a smaller space to work in, and we do all of the exterior sounds, and that's where all of the pits are, which are like, we've got grass and we've got sand and we've got dirt and gravel, and then like, so I've got like two different kinds of concrete and a couple of different wood surfaces and stuff, so like we have like a really nice solid like wood surface for like regular wood floors, and then we have like a really creaky one that we use for like haunted houses or porches and things like that. And so anyway, the point being that like it you have to deaden the sound because you're outside, right? You don't want like a room sound. And sometimes there are certain props that we are like, they catch the sound of the room too much. So I have to do them in like a closed in space.
Right, right.
So,
and then, and the idea, and also for people listening, I guess, would be like, with it being in such an enclosed space, you just naturally can control the sound and the variables that are like being recorded there, as opposed to a big open room. Cause you're, as you just alluded to, it's just like, well, no matter what, it's just going to sound like that room, right?
Yeah.
If you don't kind of enclose it and reduce that amount of space to just like specifically what you're recording.
Yeah. Yeah. Like the mixer will sometimes, like sometimes the room we have isn't just, isn't big enough. It's not going to match the sound of the sound that we're trying to cover. Like they might be in this like huge space, right?
Right.
So the mix, it's up to the mixer to sort of maybe throw a reverb on it or to, something to
betterize
like
it.
Betterize it.
Yeah, that makes sense. That's, but that, and what a cool role just in terms of the whole thing. Even like you mentioned before with the two different, like the room mic and then the shotgun mic and like walking and then like, you know, the sort of crossfading of those two to create that actual like replication of someone walking down a hallway or something like that is so cool.
It really adds to it. Like honestly, it just makes you see, I'm like grabbing my heart. I'm like, oh, like it's
the
like
passion.
This,
yeah,
it's like but like it just it just creates this feeling. You know, you're just
it makes it come alive, right? Because again, it gives that piece like realism and production value at the same time.
And the word visceral comes to mind. It's just like very truly like, and you being a drummer, there's also that visceral connection, right? When you're playing drums, it's just like you're physically like, this is the beat, like I'm actually playing it. It's almost like dancing or something like that. And then when you're there in the process and like recording those things and those sounds are actualized, especially in the way that you want to hear them, it's just like, you know, what a visceral experience. Like you're a part of that whole thing and being part of that process. So very cool.
Well, being cognizant of our time,
yes,
we have one final question for you. And something that we ask everybody. It's a very...
It's great you're scared. It's not a hard one at all.
Okay,
all
right.
What music are you listening to right now?
Oh, right now?
Yeah.
Jeez. I'm so all over the map. And then I also, like...
And then you have your kind of classic go-tos as
well.
Yeah,
my classic go-tos, which I've always listened to. But yeah, I mean, I mostly... like I'm a sucker for a good pop song. Mm,
great.
So I, you know, I, but I also.
Does someone like Adele?
I also, I love Adele. Okay, yeah, okay, I love Adele. Yeah. But like, I mean, historically, I was like this really snotty, like teenager, like full of angst. And I only listened to like, I don't know, you know, The Cure and The Smiths and Joy Division.
Right,
and I was I was very sad. And then I went through like a shoegaze period where I just listened to like, you know, My Bloody Valentine, whatever.
Right,
like,
I've
listened to so many different types of music, and it really just depends. But I love sort of like folk pop as well. Like I love Phoebe Bridgers. I love Julian Baker, Lucy Dacus, that crew. I like Haim. I like electronic-y stuff. Like I'm really all over the map.
Which is awesome. And I really appreciate how you said pop music too, because like, especially in context of everything that we've talked about today, it's just like, it's just cool sounds.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And ultimately that's what music is. It's just cool sounds put together in a very fun way.
But pop music is like, especially if it's a bigger artist or like a bigger hit or something that.
Yeah.
I'm sure the appreciation is paralleled with sort of what you do and like what we're talking about in terms of like the capturing of sound and the recording. Because when you listen to pop music, it's just like people who work on those projects are just so skilled at what they do. Mm-hmm. And they've done such a good job at capturing those sounds and mixing and you know, engineering the whole project and things like that. Mm-hmm. And so it's just like as a musician, you can appreciate the music, but then also as like sort of an audio person, you can as well. So
yeah,
it makes
I'm really
sense.
Fussy about like, I do like a good pop song, but sometimes I really hate auto-tune. I just am not.
Oh, my gosh.
Like, when it gets overused or...
Well, you're a singer, like a vocal coach.
Yeah.
It's like it takes away the human part.
Exactly. I have a real problem with it. Like, I get it. Like, I like how the songs are crafted and stuff, but sometimes, like, for whatever reason, like, I'll come to a song and I'll be like, okay, this is poppy, and I kind of like it, but I'll listen to it maybe two or three times and be like, I'm over it. Whereas, like, something that has more of a, like, human element, or is, like, I don't know, just warmer sounding, like, those are the songs that I'll put on for, like, on repeat for like
right.
a day,
yeah,
like 2 days
yeah.
or
yeah, yeah,
a week
yeah.
or even whatever, mm-hmm. you know,
because like, you can just dive right into it.
Yeah, yeah, because yeah. I appreciate the sound quality of the recording in addition to like the songwriting mm-hmm. and the, mm-hmm.
yeah,
that
for
stuff.
Sure.
Yeah, and I like things that are a little bit weird, and I like things that are noisy too.
Cool.
You know,
yeah.
like
yeah.
I really sense. Am. I have such a weird. Eclectic taste in music, like it's really all over the map,
which is I think it's is awesome, the only way yeah. to be yeah. mm-hmm. honestly yeah
yeah
if you're just like I only listen to you know chill folk music
yeah.
like, you're not
yeah.
telling us everything
gravitate to female singers I mean because I'm a singer
sure.
right so yeah. I really appreciate female singing voices
right
so I tend to gravitate to those more than male singers but
right
it depends
yeah
well, yeah absolutely. And every day it's different right for,
yeah.
for everyone
yeah
so
that's
yeah
totally.
For sure yeah.
yeah
the nature of music but hey
yeah
Don thanks so much
yeah,
for hanging
so
out with
much.
Us
yeah,
that was
you.
A blast
that was,
that yeah, was great. Great
oh goodness
great to hear your perspective on
yeah.
All
you.
Of the above
all
especially
the above.
What you do there yeah very cool
great. Yeah
thank
it was
you.
That was really fun thanks for having me
yeah
cool.